You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor, Digital.
Hello, Katie.
Hey, Keith.
How are you?
Great.
Good.
You know, it's Monday. We record on Monday. You're going to hear this tomorrow. Sorry, everybody.
You may hear this 17 Mondays from now.
Yeah, whenever you feel like listening to this, I hope you're just here listening.
Lil Nas X's Old Town Road might still be number one.
37th week.
For the 66th week at number one. Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we've got news about Ariana Grande and how her new single Boyfriend with Social House is heading for a splashy debut on the charts. We also have news about NF nabbing his second number one album on the Billboard 200 and how Drake could possibly score his ninth number one on the very same chart next week.
Plus, we've got an interview with In Real Life, the five-member group who formed almost 2 years ago on the ABC reality competition Boy Band. Talk all about their summery hit Crazy AF and more new music on the way, so stick around for that. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts. So let's get into some of the biggest news of the week. The prolific Ariana Grande returned. She returned last week with the brand new single Boyfriend alongside pop duo Social House. And there's even a cheeky music video to match. But first of all, Ariana doesn't really owe us any music at this point, considering it hasn't even been a year since she dropped her Sweetener album in August 2018, and then she delivered yet another full-length project, Thank You Next, in February. But here she is with a new single.
Actually, you know what, girl? It's actually just time for an album.
Yeah, yeah. You're overdue.
Come on, lady.
Get together. Get in the studio.
Jeez.
But the song's chorus spells out a pitfall of modern dating, if you will. She sings, "You ain't my boyfriend and I ain't your girlfriend, but you don't want me to see nobody else and I don't want you to see nobody."
So what does that make them?
It means that you don't want a commitment,
But
you don't want them to, like, it's like you want monogamy without a commitment. This just doesn't work.
It's like you're in that weird that sort of neutral limbo stage.
Yeah, she tweeted about how, like, she has multiple friends who all, like, she feels like they all relate to this idea, and so here she is putting it out into the world. And the video plays up the concept by showing Ari and Mikey from Social House, who are also rumored to be dating, although nothing has been confirmed on that front.
Let's just fuel the rumors with a song called Boyfriend.
Exactly. They literally put the word boyfriend on Mikey's face on the single art, so they're not shying away from the rumors. But it shows the two of them spending some time with other people, only to then violently attack those other love interests with a bow and arrow in Ariana's case, or by ripping a gentleman's still-beating heart out of his chest.
Kalima!
Just so they can be together instead. It's all very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So Ariana and Social House actually even performed the song's live debut during Ari's Sunday night headlining set at Lollapalooza. So came out Friday. They're already singing it live on Sunday.
It'll be on an album in a week.
But where will it be on the charts, Keith?
What a perfect segue to do the chart chat.
Yeah.
Well, it's looking like Boyfriend could make a splashy bow on the Billboard Hot 100 next week. And I'll go out on a limb and say a top 10 debut seems pretty likely.
I think that sounds about right.
Yeah. But will it have enough oomph to knock Lil Nas X's Old Town Road from the top? I don't know.
No one else has.
So why would you do it, Ari? Old Town Road spends its record-extending 18th week at number one this week on the Billboard Hot 100, and it's been unstoppable. Will Boyfriend be the latest single to get blocked from number one by the Old Town juggernaut? So far, we've had 7 singles peak at number 2 behind Old Town, with 5 of those debuting at number 2. So, hey, Ari, if you're heading for that number 2 debut, you'll be in a very elite club.
Indeed. Yeah. You, Taylor, Ed, Justin,
Sean.
Yeah, you just all hang out together in your A-list pop star club.
Fun fact, if Boyfriend stalls out at number 2, it'll be the second track titled Boyfriend to stop at number 2.
Oh.
Joining Justin Bieber's Boyfriend.
I was wondering, and I'm imagining that the illustrious charts team at Billboard might put together something about songs with the word boyfriend in the title.
There's been 2 songs with the word boyfriend in its title in the top 10. I think the other one was My Boyfriend's Back.
We should do a side-by-side of boyfriend and girlfriend songs, and it can have Break Up With Your Girlfriend, I'm Bored by Ariana Grande.
There was also Boyfriend, Girlfriend by Janet and Blackstreet.
Ooh, that can be, we can make a Venn diagram, and that can be in the middle.
Yeah, which songs do better?
Both.
Things with girlfriends or boyfriends?
Yes.
Or just friends?
We're just spitballing some sweet Billboard.com ideas.
all right, next up, over on the Billboard 200 albums chart, NF scores his second number 1. As the rapper's latest studio effort, The Search enters atop the tally. Now, the set starts with 130,000 equivalent album units earned in the week ending August 1st, according to Nielsen Music. That's the 4th largest week for a rap album released in 2019, and of that sum, 84,000 were in album sales, the biggest sales week for a rap set this year.
Wow.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Chance the Rapper logs his highest charting album yet, as his new set and his first proper studio album, The Big Day, enters at number 2 with 108,000 units. Next week, we could see another new number 1 from someone who has visited the top a few times. Mm-hmm. Drake! His new Odds and Sods collection, Care Package, which was released on August 2nd, could launch at number 1 with over 100,000 units earned in the week ending August 8th, according to industry prognosticators. If it tops the list, it will garner the megastar his 9th number 1 album.
And now it's time for our interview with In Real Life. The 5-member group, made up of Brady, Chance, Drew, Sergio, and Connor, came together almost exactly 2 years ago on the ABC reality competition series Boy Band. Since then, they've racked up the top 40 radio hit Tattoo and returned this year with the summer jam Crazy AF and the mid-tempo ballad Hurt for Long. And there's even more new music on the way, including She Do and an accompanying music video. We talk all about what it's like to have 5 guys from completely different backgrounds, completely different lives, unite to make music together. Oh, and how they had a fan come all the way from London just to see them perform a handful of songs at a radio promo tour. So please enjoy our interview with In Real Life. And every time we play in the streets, I wake up with her marks all on me. Call me crazy. Hello to In Real Life, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast.
Yay!
Thank you guys so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
Since there are 5 of you, I'm hoping that maybe we could start by having each of you go around and introduce yourselves so everyone can hear your voices.
Okay. Cool. Hi, my name is Brady Tutton, and I am 17. What's up?
My name is Sergio. I'm 18 years old.
What's up? I'm Drew, and I'm 21.
I'm Chance, and I'm also 21.
I'm Connor, and I'm 20.
Awesome. Well, nice to meet all of you.
Nice
to
meet you.
There'll be a quiz later.
Thanks, right.
Katie. I'm Keith. That's Katie.
Yeah.
Our ages are not yours.
We're slightly older.
But youthful in all other ways.
Exactly.
Yes, I got that 100%.
So let's start by talking about your summer jam, Crazy AF, which has been getting a lot of love at Top 40 Radio and I'm sure at pool parties across
yeah,
the globe.
Naturally. Yeah,
So when did you start working on that song, and did you know right away that it was a perfect fit for summer?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think so. I mean, so we heard that on
last fall.
Oh, wow.
And I feel like that was immediately the vibe that you get. It's pretty like he's got that kind of like, not reggae guitar, but kind of has that energy where it makes it kind of summery.
Mm.
We sent in the group chat and everyone was just like freaking out about it immediately. It was one of those moments where you're like, oh, yes. Like, we knew that this was going to be like a really cool song and our fans were going to really like it. So it just felt great and it made you feel just very comfortable about the year going forward.
Yep. Yeah, like, we were playing the demo just because it was written by Marky Basie and Ry Keys, and Brady was the other person who wrote on it.
Her name is Anaya.
Yes, and Anaya. So when we were on our Tonight Belongs to You tour that we did last fall, we were just playing the demo like over and over because we were looking for new music to like start the year. And that song, I think it was like unanimous that we all just kind of knew that it was going to be end up being one of the main ones that we were going to put out.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of summer, you know, you really leaned into the whole like summer theme with the music video.
Yeah.
Set at a pool party.
Yep.
What was the shoot like? Was it fun? Lots of sunburns? Like,
it was actually pretty cold that day.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
The mindset that we had going into it was like we knew that there was going to be a lot of people there. You know, a lot of girls were there. If you guys saw the video.
Nope.
no women. Girls. There's no ladies.
No, none, not a single lady in the video. But we just dudes all over the pool.
Yep.
We're kidding. Keep going. I'm sorry.
We wanted to make everybody feel comfortable. So we made it a thing to go around everybody and say hi and learn their names.
Yeah, exactly.
And just because, like, there's a lot of music video shoots, I feel like, where people don't get to know everyone and, like, it ends up creating a weird energy. So we made it a thing from the beginning to do that. And with that being said, like, the whole day, it was just a whole lot of fun. Like, we were all really relaxed.
It was a literal pool party.
Yeah,
except for when we had to get in the pool because it was hella cold.
Oh, it was so cold.
It was freezing that day.
I was so miserable. I was in the pool. I was like, like, really, my lips were chattering. Everyone's like had their green lamps out.
They kept
like,
we were told our lips were purple.
Yeah, it was crazy.
They kept making us go in after, too. Yeah. I think I stopped after one point. Like, everyone got back in the pool, and I was like, I'm not getting
it. I'm not like, stop shivering.
Yeah. I should be in the lounge chair.
Yeah, I went to the heater. I was, like, next to the heater, like, oh, God.
There was a period of time where all of us were, like, kind of, like huddled, like, trying to, like, get warm. It was funny. Yeah, it was kind of crazy.
I was sort of wondering, this is the total mom question, by the way, you know, the song's called Crazy AF, and cool. You full-on drop the F-bomb in it, and I was wondering, you guys are young, your fans are young, did you guys debate that at all, whether or not you wanted to say the F-word?
And note, the first line in the song is sang by the youngest person.
That's true.
Oh, irony of all ironies.
Yeah, well, and that was the whole thing.
Oh, my God.
Well, I don't know if we were thinking that we shouldn't do it, but it was more that we knew that it was going to be, like, the beginning of like how we wanted to represent ourselves, because our whole thing is like we want to represent ourselves in an authentic way. And at the end of the day, like a 17 to 20 year old group of guys,
you
like,
might say
wouldn't just say
every once in a while, like it's unrealistic not to expect that.
Right. You know what you're talking about. When I was 17, yeah. I didn't say a single word. Like that.
Exactly. There's no way. You know what I'm saying? There's no way. Yeah. So like, I feel like that's just. Like, everyone knows we're already probably saying those things, so right. It's like, we might as well sing about it a little bit.
Yeah. But we made a clean
version. We were just debating whether, like, we would think our fans would be ready for that, but...
I'd say they are.
They, yeah.
It's been a couple of years.
They love to sing it, though.
They love to sing it.
They love to sing it. It's their favorite word to say. Like, out of all of our songs.
Yeah, there's certain shows that we can't say it because of, like the station that, like, we need the clean version.
Right.
So I just go, you craziest.
And
like,
just let the crowd
say
it.
Every time.
All these little girls are like...
Every time. It's, like, louder than what it would sound like if we were on the mic singing it.
It's
really funny.
Yeah.
Hurt for Long.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Totally different vibe than Crazy AF.
Oh, yeah.
More of a mid-tempo ballad about, Katie put it in very nice words, cheering up a girl who just had her heart broken.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some could see it in another way, like maybe seeing an opportunity.
Yeah. Sliding to the DMs.
Moving in.
That's you know, you figured out for yourselves, listeners. Yeah. Did those two songs feel like a good pair, like a party song followed by the more serious, heartfelt song?
I think you need that. Yeah. You definitely need that. You can't have the same songs. Like, can't talk about the same thing.
Party.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it was something we haven't really, like you said, it was like a mid-tempo song, something that we don't really have right now. Yeah. So it was something cool for the fans to listen to. They definitely love it, which is great.
We performed it for the first time.
Yeah, we performed it for the first time
How was that?
Last week.
It was cool.
It was actually very fun. I'm looking forward to whenever we have to perform it again.
Initially, I think we had a little bit of a challenge performing that song because of the tempo and the fact that, like, the feel of it is still pretty not hip hoppy, but the drums are
still
pretty
be
hard
yeah.
drums.
Yeah.
So performing that at a slow tempo, like, we were like, what should we do for this? You know. But I think we recently figured that out, and it's now really fun to perform.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a good showcase for your vocals, too.
Yeah.
You also have a new song called She Do on the way. Can you tease out more of the sound or vibe of it that you're allowed to say?
Yeah. Hard.
Yeah.
It's a little more
not
urban.
What I was expecting.
That's literally what it is.
It's a metal track.
I don't think
I mean, we could go into
specifics, but basically it's just like the energy. We've never had this type of energy in a song before of ours. Like when we perform it, the crowd goes the craziest. Like we feel the best, most confident that we've ever had on stage. And I guess that should probably tell you like how sick it is.
Because it has that more like, I hate to use the word urban because everyone uses the word urban, but that's the only kind of way to describe it. Because it has that more urban feel, like it does, it's a lot easier to dance to. Mm. So yeah. Like the dance that we have is so fun to perform. So like I just feel like every time we hear that song, we get really excited about it. Like you play it in the, like we play it in the car all the time.
Yeah. And that's even when really it starts, cool you're just like, oh, here it comes. Yeah.
That's a good sign that you want to listen feeling to your own music. Yeah. Too.
If you're like not getting tired of it, if you can blast, if you're comfortable showing it to your friends, mm-hmm. that's a great thing.
Yeah.
So you performed it live already for people before? Yeah, no one's heard of the actual studio version.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Correct. So the studio version might sound a little different from what people have heard.
Yeah. Of course.
And we heard there's a video, too.
There's a fire music video. Well, okay. I'm going to be honest, we look sick. We look so dope.
Like, we look the best we've ever looked.
Yeah, like I have like my cousins at home like saying, like, yo, can I see that video again? Something they've never said before, and it's just like, it's dope. Like, that's we look awesome. So hard.
That's how you know. That's how you know, because, like, we all have our own friends at home because we're all from different places, and when they're excited about stuff that we're doing, like, then we're like, okay, this is definitely the right direction.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a perfect transition. Speaking of that, you know, obviously, you all came together on the show Boy Band, and so all of you came from totally different backgrounds, have totally different tastes probably coming in, came from different places. You know, how did that, can you all kind of individually talk about some, you know, music inspirations that you had, you know, from whether it's like growing up, what your parents played in the house or some of your favorite artists? We'll just go down the line, starting with Connor.
Oh, man. Yeah, for me, man, my parents actually didn't play too much music around the house. It was like more like Bruce Springsteen and like Mumford and Sons. And that was really it. And then I got into violin when I was about 4. So that was kind of my introduction to it. I kind of picked up like just a classical ear and was playing that through all my like elementary school and middle school years. And then when I hit like 6th grade, I found like rap. And that's when I started writing and producing and learning how to play different instruments and stuff. So that's kind of how my musical journey was. It was kind of from like a lack of hearing a lot of music and wanting to go out and find it rather than it just being always present.
Cause you can make it for yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Go down the line. Yeah.
I think for me growing up, like my parents played, which is like two opposites, but they played Christian music and then they played rock and roll, like Queen and AC/DC.
And then Christian rock.
And then Christian rock. Yeah. So like listening to that stuff, I don't know, it's such like on opposite sides of the spectrum that I wanted to find in between. So I listened to stuff like John Mayer and Jack Johnson, and then I went to Michael Jackson and stuff like that, Justin Timberlake, and that's kind of my realm and where I grew up listening to.
Sweet.
I grew up in the Bronx, and I live with my mom. My mom would mainly play like worship music and stuff. But whenever I hung out with my friends, they'd play crazy music, like DMX, and like just straight up rap, like stuff like 6ix9ine and like. But for me, growing up, like singer wise, I was really into Bruno Mars, and like Justin Timberlake, and yeah, I developed my Sam Smith. Yeah, I was super into Sam Smith actually, and it helped me develop my voice. I used to just sit there and sing in my room.
He likes people who can sing hella good.
Yeah.
Sang.
Yeah, they sang.
Sang like some high notes.
Yeah. I love that.
Okay, Sergio?
Yes, I grew up in a Hispanic house, so it was just all Spanish, from the music to our language to our culture and everything. So I didn't even listen to an English pop song until I was like 6 or 7 years old. So my parents were always playing... you guys probably don't know in artists like Rake and Camila and Sin Bandera, all these crazy duos and trios. Like that used to be a thing. There's like there were duos of like amazing vocalists, and I grew up listening to that. And on top of that, I would sing at church with my uncle and like a band that we had with our family, and that was in Spanish as well. So like Spanish was just my whole thing, basically my whole childhood. And then it wasn't until who's the first. I think the first person was Prince Royce. He's another Latin artist. He started to incorporate English into his Spanish stuff, and that's how I started to listen to English, actually.
That's funny that the gateway was through, like, a Spanish
language. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it wasn't like I listened to somebody fully in English. Like, it was, like, somebody who incorporated English in it, and then I slowly started to listen to it more. Yeah.
Well, how about Brady?
How about Brady?
Brady's cool.
My favorite.
Well, how about it? I grew up in the, like, musical theater scene, and I did, like, a lot of, like, classical training. So a lot of the music I liked was really, like, maximalist, like, crazy harmonies, like, all, like, 7 key
show
changes.
Tunes.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I was really, really into that. So I think I think that really helped me as far as, like, learning how to vocal range and like understanding like music theory. So I'm really thankful.
But he's a beast.
Thank you, bro.
So you're on a radio promo tour right now, yes, I think at the moment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How's it been performing the music? You sort of talked about it. People are like hyped.
Yeah.
What's been the fan reaction, you know, to the new songs?
The stuff they don't know quite as well yet.
Yeah. Like, are they just like, we love everything?
Well, yeah. Yeah. But they already know, like, for example, She Do. We've performed it, and there was this girl that showed me. She typed out all the lyrics. She's like, can you check if this is right? And she got every single word.
Whoa.
I was like, and the only way you can listen to it is through a YouTube video that somebody filmed us performing it.
She's like a one-woman genius. .com.
So, she was the one that flew from London to watch us perform at a mall.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was crazy.
We had to change the set list just so she could hear She Do, because she was like, this would be really worth it if you guys sang She Do. Oh, and we're like, we're not saying
wow,
that.
Her power. You did it.
We had to change it.
And finally, the second anniversary of your formation as a band is this month. First of all, can you believe it's been 2 years already? It feels every day of those 2 years.
It's like forever.
But can you put into words what the last 2 years have been like for you guys?
Wow, that's a big...
It's like, I always say this all the time to people who I'm like kind of explaining my situation, like friends at home.
Yeah.
It's like, this is our version of college. You know, you have peers with you, and you're learning about, you know, the field that you want to eventually make a career in. But we're doing it in a dope way where we have, like, we're surrounded by peers and we have each other to fall back on. And it kind of takes a little bit of the pressure off, and it's more of, like, a learning experience these last 2 years than just sort of like a, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of bands that, you know, are together for a year, 2 years, 3 years, even before releasing music. So it's like, we were on the show together, we got put together, and we didn't know how to be artists yet. We didn't know how to work with each other.
The world.
And we didn't even really know each other. So like these last 2 years have been learning how to do all of that with, you know, everyone watching us.
Yeah. One way I like to see it, it's like a roller coaster, you know, like you start off and then like you go up, then you go down, then you go up,
you do a loop-de-loop,
you turn, then you go down,
you fall off the ride.
It's like a roller coaster ride.
He's so right, Don.
That's how it's been.
Yeah, you go to the hospital.
The car breaks down at the top of the coaster.
Sometimes it gets stuck.
You gotta fix the ride.
No, that's 100% true, though.
It's a roller coaster ride.
And we are very thankful for everything that's happened, because it's gotten us to where we are right now, like mentally, individually, and as a group. So we're super pumped for this next chapter in our careers.
Exactly.
All right, well, it's a perfect note to leave it on. We look forward to hearing the new music, and thank you guys so much for coming in
today.
Thank
you guys. You're sick.
Thanks so much to In Real Life for stopping by. Stay tuned for a quote-unquote big announcement they said we could tease on the way from the guys very soon. What could that be? Stay tuned.
And now, it's time for the chart stat of the week. Sweet lights don't give me no rise on what you're trying to do. Living on your cheating and the pain grows inside me. 40 years ago this week, the Bee Gees collected their 9th and final number one on the Hot 100, with Love You Inside Out. The track climbed 3-1 on the list dated June 9th, 1979. The Bee Gees were red hot in the 1970s, and so hot fire, this was their 6th consecutive number one in a row. And all of them were logged between 1977 and 1979. Those 6 number ones, How Deep Is Your Love, Stayin' Alive, and Night Fever, all from the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, and Too Much Heaven, Tragedy, and Love You Inside Out, all from the trio's Spirits Having Flown album. Before that 6-in-a-row triumph, the group also topped the chart with You Should Be Dancing in 1976, Jive Talkin' in 1975, and How Can You Mend a Broken Heart in 1971. All stone-cold classics, I tell you. In total, the Brothers Gibb charted 43 hits on the Hot 100, with 30 of those reaching the top 40. So there you have it. This week, back in 1979, the Bee Gees got their final number one on the Hot 100 with Love You Inside Out.
All right, so we've reached the end of our big shoe. Any parting words, Katie?
Well, I've got none.
None? What song should we go out on? I'm going to suggest one for you.
Oh, okay.
A song that was a number one hit on the Hot 100 that was written by but not performed by the Bee Gees.
Ooh, what is that?
Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton's Islands in the Stream.
Love them.
See you guys next time.
Bye. Islands in the Stream.